Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. Last year, we heard multiple values, ideas, and the arts events from Manchester University on this program. Access to behavioral health services is a matter of social justice. Conspiracy theories are for losers. And a panel discussion on Constitution Day, just to name a few. The next person we are about to hear from is Xander Willoughby, Peace Studies Coordinator at Manchester. Please enjoy the show.
Rahina Malik is a critically acclaimed, award-winning Chicago playwright and solo performance artist. She was born and raised in London, England, of South Asian heritage. Her one-woman play, Unveiled, was developed and had its world premiere at the 16th Street Theater, where it received critical acclaim. Unveiled was presented in two South African theater festivals, the Grahamstown Arts Festival and the 969 Festival in Johannesburg. Rahina is a proud member of the Dramatists Guild of America. On behalf of Peace Studies Institute and the VIA Committee, please join me in welcoming Rahina Malik.
Part 1, Chocolate Chai. If you're making authentic Pakistani chai, you don't need a kettle. All you need is a medium-sized saucepan. The name of this tea in Urdu is Doodh Patti. Doodh means milk, patti means tea leaves, and chai, as you know, means tea. Some people think putting a tea bag in an ugly mug and steeping it is tea. I'm sorry, but that is not tea. Tea is cooked. Basically, I cook the tea leaves in the milk and add a variety of spices, such as cinnamon, cardamom, and cloves. That's how you make Doodh Patti. However, I have come up with another variation of Doodh Patti that I only make for special occasions. You see, when I first got married, my husband and I had our very first dinner party, and we could not decide on the dessert. He wanted chai to be the dessert, and I wanted something with chocolate. I kept thinking, chai can't be a dessert. Then the word fusion came into my brain. I decided to melt the finest chocolate into the chai, and that's how I invented chocolate chai. It was a huge success. Everybody loved it. Now the Pakistani community is copying me. My husband always gives me a hard time. You should have sold the recipe to Starbucks. We could have become rich. Anyway, today you are in luck because I'm making chocolate chai just for you. You have a funny look on your face. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I came all the way to Devon Avenue to see if this Pakistani woman can design for me the Bollywood dress of my dreams, and instead she's wasting time talking about tea. Don't worry, I'm not offended. In my culture, we do business in a very different way. Let me explain how I work. Some people call me a fashion designer, but I don't see myself as a fashion designer. I'm an artist. Here is my process. A potential client calls me, like you. You're not the first American girl that has come here for the Bollywood look. Business has been booming ever since Slumdog Millionaire. We will drink lots of chai and eat samosas and snacks, and by the time you leave, I will know if I'm going to design your dress. You see, it is not you who is choosing me, but me who is choosing you. This is not about money. I don't care about that. I'm an artist. I've gone without work for months because I didn't feel a connection to the client. I look to your soul. And if I feel a connection, then I won't just design a dress. I will create art. So tell me about your party. Is it a birthday party? A wedding dress? No, sorry, no. I don't design wedding dresses anymore, not after what happened. I'm sorry, but your friend is mistaken. I don't design wedding dresses anymore. I just can't. Look, try to understand. The last wedding dress I designed was for Lena. She's my best friend. She immigrated to America from Pakistan like me. Lena is a jaan. She's amazing. We wanted Lena's wedding day to be unforgettable. And it was, but for very different reasons. I was wearing my favorite hijab, that's the Arabic word for veil. It was my gray hijab that Ummi, my mother, gave me when I first made the decision to cover my hair. We cover our hair for God and because we believe modesty is a part of faith. I'll never forget my mother when I made the decision to cover. She surprised me because she started to talk about her labor when she had me. And she told me that while laboring in the hospital, she kept reciting the chapter in the Quran named after the Virgin Mary. Surah Maryam. That chapter talks about Mary's labor with the prophet Jesus, and scholars recommend pregnant women to read it because of the blessing. After she gave birth to me, she named me Maryam, and she prayed to God that I would have a connection to the divine like Mary. I guess seeing me covered made her feel like part of her prayer had been answered. What was I telling you? Oh, yes, Lena's wedding. I had beautiful mendi on my hands, you know, henna tattoos, and I was running really late. I grabbed my sticks. You see, we have this dance called the dandia. You take these sticks and you smash them together. It's beautiful. I grabbed my baby and my toddler, put them in the car, called my husband, who was still at work, and said, hurry up or you will miss the stealing of the groom's shoes. You see, in my culture, the bride's entourage steals the groom's shoes. The poor groom is sitting on the stage like an idiot without shoes. If he wants them back, he has to pay. You can make good money at a Pakistani wedding. When I arrived at the venue, the parking lot was full, and I realized there were two weddings taking place inside the building, our Pakistani wedding and an American wedding. Finally, I found a spot, parked my car, grabbed my double stroller, put my baby in, put my toddler in, and headed towards the entrance. I was so excited. I kept thinking about Lena and imagining how she would look in the dress I designed for her. It really was my best work. As I got closer to the entrance, I noticed a man and a woman smoking cigarettes, and I realized they were guests from the other wedding. But when I walked past the man, he said, take that shit off your head. I froze. I couldn't move. My brain was trying to process what just happened. I kept asking myself, did he just say that to me? I turned around and he was glaring at me. I thought to myself he might be drunk, so I decided to just ignore him and walk away. As I started to walk away, I could hear him and his lady friend laughing. Maybe it was the laughter, but I stopped. In that moment, I realized everything I do, my children will do. If I let people treat me like garbage, my kids will grow up and do the same. So I turned around, looked him straight in the eye, and said, sir, you need to get an education because you're ignorant. You're in America. Take that shit off your head. That's right. I'm in America, where I have my constitutional right to practice my religion and dress how I like. You Arabs are all terrorists. Go back to Afghanistan. Sir, let me educate you. Afghanis are not Arab. I'm not Arab or an Afghani or a terrorist. I'm an American, a Pakistani American. If you're American, dress like one. I am dressed like one. I know all about your kind. You people are crazy. Paradise, right? You want paradise. Kill all non-Muslims. I told him he was wrong. I told him we believe paradise lies under the feet of mothers, so honor and respect mothers. I told him that what he just said to me was very ignorant. Don't call me stupid, you shit. He charges towards me with his fist getting closer and closer to my face. All of a sudden, his lady friend pulls him back just in time. John, no! She's not worth it. I spend most of my best friend's wedding at the police station. I miss the stealing of the groom's shoes. I missed everything that was important to me. This man thought it was okay to swear at me in front of my children. He thought it was okay to physically attack me in front of my children. That's because in his eyes, I was not a mother, a wife, a daughter. I was just a Muslim, a terrorist. I was not human. Do you know what it feels like to be treated like you and your children are not human? I do. I haven't been able to design wedding dresses since that day. I just can't. And I didn't want Lena to find out what had happened. I mean, it was her wedding day. And I wanted everything to be beautiful, and I wanted all the attention to be on her, but she found out. Everybody found out. Lena hugged me, handed me dandia sticks, and said, dance with me. I looked at her like she was crazy. How can I dance? I should have just ignored him. What if he hit me in front of my children? They would have been traumatized for the rest of their lives. Lena said, dance with me. I refused. Then Lena recited a poem by Rumi. Dance when you're broken open. Dance when you've torn the bandage off. Dance in the middle of the fighting. Dance in your blood. Dance when you are perfectly free. So I did. I grabbed my dandia sticks and I danced. And I drank lots and lots of Doodh Patti Chai. As for the man, he was arrested for attempted assault. The truth is, I don't think his arrest will really teach him anything. Maybe to hate Muslims more. So what's the solution? I don't know. Getting to know me might help. I just love designing wedding dresses. I really loved it. I can't believe I've let that horrible day stop me from doing what I love. I mean, everything I do, my children will do. You know what? I've had a change of heart. I will design your wedding dress, and you're in luck. Some fabric has just arrived from Karachi. It's a dirty peach with a touch of gold. It's beautiful. Let's celebrate with the chocolate chai. You know, the poets are right. Rumi is right. Dance when you're broken open. Or as the Pakistani say, nach Punjabin, nach. Part 2, Moroccan mint tea. The judge has denied defendant's motion to dismiss, and we are proceeding to trial with this case. You have a really strong case, you really do, but every time I ask you about that night, you freeze. As your lawyer, I need to know the facts. Just relax, take your time, and can you tell me what time you started to get ready that night? Sweetie, you have to talk to me or I can't help you. I know, let's take a break. I was just making some Moroccan mint tea. Have you ever tasted it? It's so easy to make. You just boil the water, add Moroccan green tea, fresh mint. It's served in glasses, not cups, and it's garnished with lots and lots of fresh mint. My family's from Morocco, and in my culture, tea is more than just a drink. It's a symbol of friendship, tradition, and hospitality. We are a culture of storytellers, so I'm going to share my story with you. You see, I know your pain. I know it because I've lived it. My story is about an orange. I was about your age at the time, and I was taking classes at the local community college. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. One day, I came home from school, and my father's friend's son, Hassan, was visiting us. I knew exactly why Hassan had come, and I was not happy. Instead of sugar, I put salt in Hassan's tea. I wanted to let his taste buds know that I was not interested. After he left, my Baba had a little chat with me. Noor Habibti, you are no longer little girl. In my eyes, you will always be my baby, but mashallah, you have become woman, and woman need husband. I invite Hassan because I think he would make excellent husband for you. Mom, did you know about this? But he's beautiful. But I don't like him in that way. I'm not being mean, but he's a little bit overweight. Baba, it's not healthy. He's a bachelor. That's why he likes fast food. Don't worry. I will write in the marriage contract, must lose weight. But Baba, he's boring. Boring? What are you talking about? I love your mother, and she is so boring. Listen to me. I've known his father for 20 years, but I love Joe. What did you say? Ya Allah, she is in love. Who is this Joe? A boy from school. Is he American? Yes, Baba. Is he Christian? No, Baba. Is he Jewish? No, Mama. This child is going to kill me. What religion is he? He's a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, thanks God. Sit down and tell us everything. We want to know every detail. Okay, Mom. I was taking a class at school called public speaking. I was walking down the hallway and a group of boys were following me. They were calling me a towelhead. One of the boys started pulling on my hijab. He almost pulled it off. I tried not to cry, but I couldn't stop the tears. Why didn't you tell me? Baba, just listen. All of a sudden, this boy appears. I thought he was friends with them and was going to join in, but instead, he makes them stop. His eyes were so beautiful and kind. He told me his name was Joe, and then he spoke to me in Arabic. He said, Ma ismik, and I said, Noor, and he even knew that my name means light. He told me he converted to Islam 5 years ago. I asked him what made him convert, and he said, an orange. The color orange or the fruit? The fruit? What kind of idiot converts because of a fruit? Baba, just listen. He told me he was in a very serious car accident. It's a miracle I survived. I really should be dead. In the hospital, I was eating an orange and a candy bar. As I ate the orange and the candy bar, I began to think how similar they both are. Both are sweet, both come in a wrapper, both have segments. The candy bar had nuts in it, the orange had seeds in it. If I threw the candy bar away, it would just decompose. But if I threw the orange away, it could turn into a kind of orange factory, an orange tree. Then I thought, what if someone designed a candy bar that if thrown away turned into a candy bar factory? It's impossible. In that moment, I felt God. See, someone designed the candy bar, something designed the orange, which is a miracle because it can reproduce. Existence can't come out of nothing. That's when my journey began. It led me to the Quran, and when I converted, people would ask me why. I'd say, Because of an orange? That's interesting. I never thought of an orange in that way. Will you be quiet and let her finish? Then what happened? We became friends. He's a musician. He's studying the oud. One day, I asked him to play for me, and he did. And as he played, I thought, this is it. This is what falling in love feels like. One day, he gave me a letter. Go get it right now. I want to read it. No need. She has memorized it. How do you know? Because I am a Moroccan woman, and I know how Moroccan woman loves. What did it say, Noor? It said, dearest Noor, I'm writing you this letter to let you know that I'm in love with you, and I want to marry you. I will be coming to your house to speak to your father. I hope you will say yes. Sincerely, Joe. I like how he mentioned asking my permission, but he is not from our culture. You will lose your culture. No, I cannot allow it. No, Baba, please, I love him. We will do what our beautiful religion tells us to do. Listen to your mother, she is right. The religion tells us when two people like each other, get them married quickly. What? God does not care about nationality. God say marry for deen and good manners. This boy, he have good religion. When we meet him, we shall see his manners. When my parents met Joe, they loved him. We were married and I was so happy. My life had just begun with my soulmate. I know what you're thinking. What does all of this have to do with your story? Keep listening. About a month after my wedding, Joe had his first oud concert at the college. He was so excited because it was the first time he was playing with the Arabic music ensemble. I gave him a gift, something that he could wear to the concert. It was a jalaba from Morocco, a long garb that Moroccans wear. He looked beautiful in the jalaba. It was a Friday evening when I drove into the college parking lot for the concert. Joe was supposed to meet me in the parking lot because we were going to get coffee before the show. But when I got out of my car, he wasn't there. I heard a scream behind the main building near the garbage cans in the alley. I started to run there. I saw a group of boys beating Joe. Joe saw me and screamed, "Run!" I tried to run as fast as I could, but two of the boys grabbed me and pulled me to the back where he was. They had knives. Three of them pinned me to the floor. One of them punched me in the face. Joe screamed again, and that's when I knew they had stabbed him. They used the knives to cut open my... One of the boys said, "Who wants to go first?" I was screaming and begging them to stop, but they kept saying, "No mercy for terrorists." I let my soul connect to Allah. I kept saying, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." There is no power or strength except with God. I heard a siren and all the boys ran. I thought everything was going to be okay until I saw Joe. He had been stabbed several times. I tried pushing my hands on the wounds to stop the blood, but it was too much. His body was shaking violently, and he was saying God's name over and over again. In the last moments of your life, whatever is in your heart will come out, nothing else. Joe looked at me and said, "Noor, next to you, it's not human." I knew it was the angel of death. Joe said the Shahada, and that was the last thing he ever said. For a long time, I locked myself in my bedroom, and I was in a deep depression. I would just scream, "Why me?" The state's attorney kept calling and asking for my help. The boys had been charged with murder, and to convict them meant that I would have to testify. That meant telling every detail about that night, and I was so ashamed. And I didn't want to bring shame on my family. All day and night, I would read Joe's letter, and then one morning, the letter was gone. I knew who took it. "Mama, give me back my letter. I will give to you one day, but not now. Now you will leave your bedroom. Now you will meet with state's attorney. Now you will tell judge everything. There is no shame in the truth. There is only shame in silence that protect murderers, silence that protect rapists, and one day you will stand before Allah and answer for your crime. Yes, Noor, silence is sometimes a crime. Never say, why me? Instead, ask, what for?" After she left my bedroom, I sobbed on my bed for hours. I felt so lost and alone. I don't know when it happened, but I fell asleep and I experienced the ilham, the inspiration from the divine. I saw Joe. He said, a dark world needs light, and you are Noor. You are light. The next day, I finally left my bedroom. I met with the state's attorney. He introduced me to groups that fight against hate crimes. I met other victims and their stories. Their stories made me feel less alone. Slowly, I began to heal. I spent a lot of time thinking about my mother's words. Never say, why me? Instead, ask, what for? When I graduated from law school, my parents were so proud. You see, that's why I'm here. For you. The man that raped you will do it again. You have to speak. Your words, they have power. I will never forget Joe. Because of him, I found my purpose in life, and he made me see God in everything, even an orange. Let's drink the tea. Let's drink it with lots and lots of sugar. You have tasted the bitterness of evil. Now taste the sweetness of hope.
WBOI Presents will continue after a short break. Stay tuned.